Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? I had my rundown a little bit backwards. I apologize. We'll do what we were planning on doing coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But right now, let's head to Miami to be joined by Brendan Tobin. He is in Miami. He covers the Dolphins. There are a couple of players right now on the Dolphins that have been thrown in trade rumors. Let's see how real those rumors are. Brendan, happy to have you pop on with us today, my man.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Absolutely. First off, man, we got to find out if you've been involved in any illegal poker games, because I would stop doing that immediately if you are.
No, all of my poker games are on the up and up in there. For Terry Rozier and whatever's going on down here, I can't say the same, but I got to imagine Eric Spoelstra was screaming into his pillow because they just wanted a normal year after the Jimmy Butler stuff last year. They just had their first game, and then they wake up to this. Just another crazy season in Miami.
I will say this. I mean, that's the most NBA story that I could possibly create in the first week of the season. It's the most Miami story you can create in the first month of the season, too.
Yeah, I think the thing that sucks for them, too, is it was already the worst trade possibly in their franchise's history, and it had nothing to do with when he was on the team. You know, his play on the court was bad enough, but now you have to put it on this radioactive thing of, oh yeah, by the way, when he was on the Hornets, it's alleged that he may have taken himself out of a game for gambling purposes. It's all just going fantastic for him right now.
So let's talk about the Dolphins. I guess I got a Dolphins related question, and then we'll get to some of the trade possibilities. Why have they not fired their coach yet? Because it feels like they're about to fire their coach here in the next 3 weeks.
Man, I would have thought that, there were a couple of losses already. I would have thought that Stephen Ross would have pulled the trigger, and he hasn't. In his history as the owner, he doesn't like firing or cleaning house. He's not a fan of it. The Brian Flores thing that all happened where they kind of got caught with all that, you know, the allegations were that he was ready to bring in Sean Payton and bring back in Tom Brady, and then they got caught with the whole scandal and lawsuit and all that. So they kind of ended up in this plan B with Mike McDaniel and having to, you know, save to his career. And he did a good job of it early on. Like they revamped this number 5 overall pick. And I do think that everybody really likes how Mike handles himself as a professional in that building. And I think he also probably knows that this wasn't a very good roster. He didn't spend as much on this because of some past busts that they've had. And Chris Greer has been in the organization for over 20 years. He's nearly a lifer with the Dolphins. And so, you know, Ross does have some loyalty to him. I think it really would pain him to get rid of these guys. People wanted them fired last year, and he came out even before their end of season press conference that he wouldn't do it. But you do get to a point, it's season ticket renewal time. The attendance is looking a little wonky. There's been banners before every game. So you got to know, I'm sure, at one point when is enough enough. And, I'm sure there is a breaking point. I don't know when it is, because I would have thought losing to the Browns would have been that, but not yet.
I am always for more content. It just makes my job easier. It makes your job easier. It gives us more things to talk about. So I'm usually with it. But if I was Tua, I would just take the fine every week from not speaking to the media. It hasn't helped him really at any point this season. He should stop doing it immediately.
Yeah, here's the thing, man. I've been covering Tua. I was, really there a lot at the facility when he was, going through those tough Brian Flores years. And, I remember the times when he was really just beaten down and, he went up there. So I do appreciate Tua's always willing to face the music. This year has been a little bit different because there's been kind of an arrogance and almost a not accepting of responsibility at times, which is not typically like his character. And that, I think, is really, lost a lot of favor in his eyes with even the fans that were defending him, because he's been a very polarizing guy. Is he a franchise QB? Is he not? But even the most ardent supporters of him are like, hey, man, what are you talking about here? You know, you're throwing teammates under the bus. You're saying you're not half the quarterback of a division rival. You know, now yesterday we got to deal with the whole I can't see over the line thing, which is almost a rerun. I mean, nobody was talking about that when he said that a couple of years ago when they were decent. Now I wish somebody could tell to him and be like, hey, could you just not make us an Instagram joke for one day? And he was doing so good yesterday, too. I was, like, listening intently. He was handling it okay. He was taking extra accountability. He was even joking about his misfire where he was upset about a turnover and Bunch's comments. I'm like, all right, he's rolling. And then I get on Twitter, and all anybody can talk about is how he can't see over his lineman because he's too little. So, yeah, it is just his nature. He's not a QB speak guy. He always does speak from the heart, which, you know, parts of media, you do appreciate it. But when your team stinks, you just want everybody to kind of shut up.
Right now, we're talking to Brendan Tobin. He's with WQAM down in Miami. All right, let's get to a couple of the names that have been thrown out there as trade possibilities. Let's start with Jalen Phillips. That's just kind of a player that the Chiefs have liked over the last 5 years or so. Former first-round pick on an expiring contract. How much juice do you think he has left? What kind of season does he has left? Is he really a player that's up to be traded?
I think that all the reasons you mentioned with being in the contract situation that they are and being how bad the Dolphins are, I definitely think that the two guys you would probably look at are him and Bradley Chubb as guys who would be available. Chubb's obviously a little older, but they've both been hit with massive injuries over the last couple of years. And Jalen Phillips came back from an Achilles the year prior only to get hurt with a knee last year because one of his teammates ran right into it. So he made this huge comeback only to have another lower body injury. And so, you know, it's nothing he's not familiar with. He had a lot of injuries in college. He medically retired and then, you know, went from UCLA to the Miami Hurricanes, turned himself into a first-round pick. So this is a guy who just knows how to persevere back from really tough physical setbacks. But he hasn't looked the same this year, you know, for – you guys keeping an eye on your division rivals there and the Chargers, you know, he had an opportunity to set up a third and long and sack Justin Herbert. And, you know, Herbert just shook him off and he wasn't able to finish the play. So it's been a frustrating year for JP, but he's an A-plus dude. I mean, I think if the Chiefs did get him, you're getting like as quality a human as you could possibly add to your locker room. He's a physical freak specimen. It's just, you know, it's just the lower ligaments and being able to hold it all together. So if you're talking about a rental, amazing. And then I don't know with a guy with his medical history, like what kind of dollars it's going to cost on the back end of it if you do have to give him a new deal because he's had so many medical red flags. But, yeah, at his best, he could be an absolute force in this league, a lot like his buddy Bradley Chubb, who came here with knee injuries and has dealt with knee injuries. He just hasn't been able to consistently stay healthy, but when he is, he's absolutely scary again after the quarterback.
I just don't see any scenario in which Kansas City would trade for Bradley Chubb. I'm not saying that he is untradeable, but he just started a new 3-year, $54 million deal with 33 guaranteed. He's locked in for this season and next year on a big contract. I don't think there's any chance the Chiefs would go get Bradley Chubb.
I think he restructured a lot of it, though, because he was so like he was on that money, but then because he basically didn't play on a lot of it, I think they redid it as to a lot of it not even being guaranteed anymore. So he took a pay cut before the season. So he's another one. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up getting moved. I think probably if I had to guess who would be, you know, who there'd be more, you know, competition after, I would guess Jalen just because of the upside, you know, being only 26 and people thinking that he gets back into form, he could be, you know, an elite pass rusher in this league. But, you know, but I honestly think that the for sale tent is up on a lot of guys on this team. There's probably a very few untouchables right now on this roster. But the other thing that is a little bit of a conundrum for the Dolphins is, you know, if they aren't going to keep Chris Greer around, like how much is the organization looking forward to having him handle like all of these deals too? So that's another thing to consider with all this stuff.
That's why I think with Jalen Phillips, like if you're telling me that the Chiefs pick up Jalen Phillips and they get him for a sixth round pick and they pick up a 25-year-old who has an expiring contract and they're basically just trying to see if there's anything left. I mean, to me, that's a good deal for a contending team. You use him as a rotational piece. You throw him on the field and you see if you got something there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, look, his numbers are down this year, but the Dolphins' defense I think the dirty secret that everybody doesn't want to talk about, because Tua's really been awful this year, but the defense has been just as bad, and it's not just a product of Jalen Phillips. They are basically have a defensive line that's Zach Sealer and a bunch of rookies that they're trying to put in, and you're starting to see some progress, but man, they've taken some real growing pains early on. And so I think that that's probably deterred a lot of production on guys, and you know, they're having to like blitz to stop the run. They're really trying to salvage this thing because they've been giving up a lot of points this year. So I could see like, hey, he gets onto a defensive line with Chris Jones out there and veterans, and you're plugging him in. Like, I could definitely see this being a guy that could skyrocket in production in a better situation, because we've seen it down here. We've seen the talent of Jalen Phillips, and the guy is just, I mean, absolutely loved out here, being a product of the U. He's, I mean, legitimately one of the best guys in the community as far as charity is concerned, and doing a lot of that type of stuff as well. So I could see him definitely going into a winning situation and immediately making an impact and bringing those positive vibes to a team.
Two things here, and I'll get you out of here. We're talking to Brendan Tobin. He covers the Miami Dolphins. The first thing is, you guys have a very talented running back in Devon Achane. Is he available? You say that the yard sign is out there for everybody. I'm imagining of all the players that they have, he the one that ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's also probably going to be looking for a fat deal next year, and I'd imagine, because he has legitimately been the lone bright spot on what has been a turd of a season. He's been amazing. And basically, you know, any little production that Tua has had in the passing game has basically been a product of him making things happen. He's been incredible. I can't see them, you know, parting with him for you know, anything cheap. I think that, you know, he's probably the guy that if anybody comes in and even wants this job, that's the guy that they're going to want to try and build the offense around, especially with Tyreek Hill's, you know, career in flux with the nasty knee injury that he had. So I can't see the Dolphins parting with him unless it's like they're blown away with some offer, like a first or a first and a third or something like that. And, you know, I understand with running backs, people can be a little hesitant to do that, and especially with him not being the biggest guy in the world. But, man, he's electric. He's tough. He's exceeded every expectation. The funny thing is, like, every year, it feels like the Dolphins fans are excited about, oh, we got some bigger running back to come in here, and nobody can get him off the field. He's outplayed Mostert. The rookie Jalen Wright's been an afterthought, or Ollie Gordon's been an afterthought. The sophomore Jalen Wright has been an afterthought because you just can't take Jalen Wright off the field. He's too productive.
That is Brendan Tobin joining us on the show today. Brendan, you'll be happy to know that Terry Rozier, he has been released from jail, but he had to put his $6 million house up for collateral for bond. So Terry Rozier, he free, but man, it was expensive to be free.
Yeesh.
That is Brendan Tobin joining us on the show today. Really happy to have him pop on today. They hit Terry Rozier. Rob, the prosecutors wanted a $10 million bond for Terry Rozier. They ended up making him put his property up for sale, $6 million. So he gets to walk out of jail today, but a very, very expensive. All right, Rob, we're going to head back to New York here coming up in a bit. We got the Dolphins update. Rob, over the last couple of days, you have sold me on this Jalen Phillips thing. I mean, I'm not in love with it. I don't know if you can be in love with a guy who tore his Achilles 2 years ago, tore his ACL last year, and now you're talking about adding him in the middle of the season to eliminate questions that you have. It kind of is what it is. Like, you can certainly sell me on the Chiefs swap sixth round picks, they swap seventh round picks, they go pick up Jalen Phillips, and they see if he has anything down the stretch. You can definitely sell me on that. We'll head to New York in a little bit because they got a couple of players that also, I think, fit in this category as well. So, Rob, you brought this to my attention. Rolling Stone made a list, and on this list, they said that Thriller was the 22nd best song that was themed around Halloween. And I looked at you and I said, there's 21 other songs about Halloween, or 21 other songs that you would hear at Halloween time? Like, I can think of one. He did the mash. He did the monster mash. That's it. I can't think of anything else. And you said, oh, there's plenty of Halloween songs. I said, wait. So I want you to go on there. I want you to pull up the top five songs around Halloween. Number one, let's see if these songs are more deserving than Thriller, which should be number one on the list. But let's see if these songs are popular Halloween anthems. This is number five you put down. This is number five on the list. This is the number five most popular Halloween theme song.
This is, I don't know the name of the song, it's Bobby Brown. This song was featured in Ghostbusters 2. I don't think this is a Halloween song, but it was number five on their list because of its synonymous with Ghostbusters 2.
Rob, why did you waste our time with this segment?
Who needs filler when you got Bobby Brown?
Why did you waste our time with this? That's the number five Halloween song?
I assume
is that Bobby Brown song from the Ghostbusters
2.
Nobody has seen Ghostbusters 2. People have seen the first one. They've seen the remakes. Nobody has seen Ghostbusters 2. Nobody talks about Ghostbusters 2. There's only one song from Ghostbusters people remember. And that certainly ain't it. Number four.
I'm friends with the monster.
All right. I don't want to be this anymore. This I don't want to play this anymore. This is stupid. This is dumb. This is goofy. I can't believe that no. I don't want to play this ever again, Rob. I can't believe, no. I got to make an executive decision. I'd rather talk about anything else. I'd rather talk about Darren Peterson than continue this. I honestly rather do it. That's a Halloween song? Okay, never mind. I apologize.
It's about the monster.
Okay, no, I got you.
Monsters, Halloween?
I got you. Sometimes we try things and we think the bit's going to work, and then in the middle, somebody has to make the decision. No, the bit's not going to work. Okay, fine. I'm not going to spend 10 minutes now trying to salvage it. There's no reason to salvage it. It's not a Halloween song. I would like to hear what number one is, just because I'm curious. I'm curious.
To my surprise.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, number one was
the monster. Okay, all right. Man. That's an actual Halloween song.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash. I will agree with you. I have never once heard that Eminem song with Rihanna and been like, ooh, Halloween.
Yeah, what's happening here? Just, okay.
Just because it has the word monster in it does not mean it's a Halloween song.
How much do you think milkshakes were when this song came out?
Mm.
I mean, you could definitely go down to Wednesday's and get you a milkshake for a quarter. 100% you could do that.
They still had soda pop shops at that point, so.
Okay, I'm just saying. Definitely, 100% you could do that. I'm serious. I just wanted to know how much milkshakes were at the end of it. Just very, very curious to know what it was. Okay, all right. You know what? I tried. I thought it was something. It wasn't something. I'm ready. I'm thrilled to move on when it comes to this. Are you with me, at least with the Chiefs, that they are going to go get a defensive lineman? I don't know how the Chiefs get through the remaining possible 3 months of the season if they're not planning on getting there. Like, as much as I would like for the Chiefs to go get a running back, and you guys know the stance I have on running back. Like, I would like for them to go get a running back. I don't think that they are, and I think the Chiefs are happy with their running back room, and if something happens, then they will just plug and play Elijah Mitchell into it, and or they would just use more Breshard Smith. So I've said, I'm happy to put the running back conversation. I think it's very obvious the Chiefs are not happy with their defensive line. I think for the last 3 weeks, they have been telling you they're not happy with their defensive line. Now, I'm not 100% certain that that just requires a trade for them to go get somebody, but I wouldn't be surprised if next week they bring somebody in. I've seen some pictures that Frank Clark was back in town, and what does that mean? I'm sure he has people here, family here, friends here, so I don't know necessarily if that means that Frank Clark is coming back to play, but I would be very, very surprised if the Chiefs didn't add a defensive lineman at some point in the next 14 to 17 days. I'd be very surprised if they didn't do that.
We can get to the actual content here. There are people out there that saw Frank Clark on an airplane and thought, oh, he's going to rejoin the Chiefs. Frank Clark hasn't played football in a long time, has he? Like, after he left Kansas City after the Niners Super Bowl, did he play somewhere last season? I'm pretty sure he just didn't play. If he's back in town or on an airplane, maybe there's some sort of, maybe we haven't gotten the email yet. Maybe he's banging the drum, but he's not an option at all for pass rusher. But I digress.
Yeah, no, it could be anything. Honestly, it could be anything.
I don't think it's football related.
I don't think it is either. I'm with you.
I think he's just in Kansas City because he used to live in Kansas City. I don't think anyone who saw Frank Clark on that flight, supposedly, that he was on.
No, I saw pictures. Frank Clark is in Kansas City.
Maybe he's the drum. Maybe he's like just an alumni event. He's not coming back to play for the team.
Yeah, I also just don't like. If you're telling me that that's their plan right now, I think that's one of the worst possible plans that they could have. And it's like no disrespect towards Frank Clark, but if you were telling me a guy who didn't play all of last season, hasn't played, hasn't been in a training camp, none of those things, if that's your solution to fixing your defensive lineman situation, I don't know what to tell you. It was obvious in 2023 that he was cooked. He was done in 2023. He didn't record a single sack in 2023. He didn't play last year. He hasn't played so far this year. Like, no, Frank Clark's career is over as a defensive lineman. He had a great career. He played 9 years, made good money, won a Super Bowl, went to another. Like, hey, a lot of players wish they could be as successful of a player that Frank Clark is. He can always come back to Kansas City, always going to get love. He should get love anytime that he's back in Kansas City. But I'm not interested in him fixing any of their defensive line issues. I don't think he can.
As for the actual defensive line fixes, me and you were on running back for a while, so I'm happy you've come around. I think they're going to make multiple moves at D-line. Now, when I say moves, I want to put this in context. I think they're going to make a, hey, can you believe the Chiefs signed blank off someone's practice squad type of move at D-tackle just because they need bodies at the position. Right now, it's Naughty, who per Pro Football Focus, whether you like them or dislike them right now, he stinks. Chris Jones, who... It was 3 weeks ago that Chiefs fans hated Chris Jones because of one play. Jerry Tillery and I don't know who else that D-tackle. So I think Colin Saunders is a popular name. He's in the practice squad with the Jags. I think that type of move is coming. But I also think a Jalen Phillips type of trade is coming. I think they are going to make a actual trade where they give up an asset for an edge rusher. Because as good as things have looked the last 2 weeks, I do not believe the Chiefs are content with their pass rush when they rush only four. Diana Rossini had the report the Chiefs are inquiring about D-line. I think they know they need more from their pass rush. Chris Jones is looking a little older, and their edge guys are just not getting home. Aminahu and Carl Officer paid to get home. They're not doing it consistently enough. I think they will make a trade and sign just a body.
Yeah, I mean, I think this Colin Saunders move, it's so much in line with what the Chiefs do. I'm looking at Colin Saunders' contract right now. His base salary is $1.1 million. He ain't making no money. He has no cap hit, no anything right now. His cap hit is $1.7 million, and that was at the beginning of the season. We're halfway done with the season. He makes less than 1% of the NFL salary cap. So if you're telling me that the Chiefs are going to make a move and they're looking at defensive tackle more than they're looking at DN, because Phillips is more of a DN, not really much of a D-tackle, the Colin Saunders one, it is just perfectly lined up with what the Chiefs do. He's already been on the team before. You like him. You drafted him. You know you can easily fit him into your scheme, easily fit him into the locker room. He's cheap. You can get him for next to nothing for a team that's not going anywhere. That would take all the assets. You know he wants to come back and is super interested in being back. Yeah, the Colin Saunders move, like, he probably moves to the front of the line then if we're having that conversation. In the next 14 days, what's the most likely move they can make? They swap 7th-round picks to bring Colin Saunders back to Kansas City. That's a very, very clear move they could make to fill up some depth.
I had to double check. I think he's on the practice squad for the Jags. You can just sign him as long as you put him on your active roster. So I think can massage and get Colin Saunders on their roster with almost no work. But I think on top, I think that's coming in the next 7-8 days. But I think in the next 14 days, by the time the trade deadline comes and goes, they will have added an edge and a D tackle trying to refresh, replenish, rehab that defensive line, because it's not living up to the expensive standards they've set for it so far.
That's why, I guess, in this conversation, why I'm just kind of like, okay, it's whatever. Like, someone just texted in, CDOT, Neil Farrell is on a practice squad somewhere. Go get him. We think Neil Farrell's moving what are we doing here when it comes to these things? Like, that's why I'm asking. Are we wanting the Chiefs to make a move for the sake of making a move, or do we just think they need an extra body? Because if he's an extra body, then yeah, go get him. He's on the roster. Everybody's happy. Neil Farrell ain't really helping you a whole lot at this point. Like, that's why at least when it comes to this, like, what kind of player do we think the Chiefs are looking for? Are they looking for somebody that can give you a little bit of juice that could possibly do something? Like Joshua Uche had all the makings of potentially being one of those kind of players. He had a season where he had 11 and a half sacks. That's somebody you can get excited about. If that's the move they're going to make to bring somebody like that up from the practice squad, then what are we doing here? You just wanted a warm body to just fill out the game day roster. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to New York. A couple of players on the Jets right now are being rumored to be traded. We'll see if any of them make sense in Kansas City. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Zach Rosenblatt, friend of the show. He covers the Jets for The Athletic. Zach, have you seen that video where they interviewed that Jets fan when he was leaving the game and he just looked like he was ready to give up on life?
I've only been sent to by every single person in my life. Yes.
Okay, I was just wondering because I mean,
yeah, I know it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
I mean, he looked like he was at his wit's end. Like we've all felt that way about a team, but the fact that he's like 15, 16, and he feels that way. I mean, that kid's got to go cheer for somebody else.
I mean, it like he said, it's in his blood. The misery is in his blood, so he knows how to properly explain it.
So I guess let's just start here. You know, you and I talked at the beginning of the season. I mean, I didn't have high expectations for the Jets. I didn't think they would look this bad to the point where I'm not sure if Aaron Glenn's going to be the coach next year.
I wouldn't say that. It has definitely gone way worse, and the fact that that's even a conversation tells you how bad it's gone. I mean, they're 0-7. Like, if you had said that before the season that they'd be 0-7, I would have said there's no way. So, like, it's so much worse than it could have been, and than it could have possibly been in my mind. And it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better because they're, you know, their two best players are hurt and probably not playing this week, Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. So it's concerning, and I don't think Glenn is at risk getting fired yet, but I mean, 0-17, if let's say it was that worst case scenario, like then anything's on the table.
If I gave you a free $100,000 right now and said you had to accurately predict when the Jets get their first win, what game would you predict?
If I'm predicting right now, you're saying?
Yeah,
when they get their first
right
win?
Now, looking at their schedule, if I give you $100,000 and I say, hey, you got to pick the win and I'll give you the money, which game would you pick?
I'll say the Browns game after the bye week. Their defense is good, but the Jets should have Garrett Wilson and Sauce back by then, and they are a better team than the Browns on paper. So I would hope they beat them. If not, they would be 0-9 at that point. So.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of the players that could potentially get moved. We just had a Dolphins guest on the show, and he said that the Dolphins are open for business. Do you feel like the Jets are also open for business?
To a degree. Like, I think they aren't hanging up on almost anybody on the roster outside of Sauce and Garrett. And maybe like a couple of their like young guys, like the rookies that they drafted this year and last year and stuff. But I think they are open to trading anybody for the right price. I don't think they're just going to give away guys. Like, I think that's the difference. I don't think they're going around saying we're going to get rid of Breece Hall. We're not going to resign him anyway. I think it's going to take a certain price to get some of these guys. But if they lose on Sunday and they fall to 0-8, I think Woody Johnson's going to want to save some money and accumulate some assets. So that's kind of where I'm at.
If I had to ask you right now, who is the most likely player to be traded away from the Jets, what would your answer be?
Yeah, my answer would probably be Michael Carter II. He's a nickel corner. When he's been healthy, he's been one of, if not the best nickel corners in the NFL. He's been banged up this year and last year. And they just traded for Jarvis Brownlee, so he's kind of lost his starting spot. But I think they would be interested in him, so I would be surprised if he was still a Jet as of the deadline.
Let's talk about Will McDonald. He's a name that's come up. My producer, who you just talked to a couple of minutes ago, he actually likes Will McDonald. What kind of player is he? Do you see him potentially being on the move?
Will, he's kind of one-dimensional at this point. Like, they don't really play him as much on running downs, and the talk all offseason was they felt like he was going to be playing more on running downs, but He's a really, really impressive athlete, really long. He has his signature move is a spin move, which works most of the time. He hasn't gotten as much quarterback hits and sacks this year as you would like, but Jermaine Johnson was out a while, so he was getting, you know, some double teams and stuff like that. But I think he's a really talented player. He's young, and he's purely a pass rusher at this point. So I think, you know, if the Jets were to trade any of their guys that are under contract for beyond this year, it would have to be somebody like that who would get, like, legit value back. Like, if they can get a second-round pick for Will McDonald, I think they'd be open to it. I don't think they're actively trying to trade him, though.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if they're looking for a second-round pick, that's just not the market that I think Kansas City is on. I think Kansas City's in a very similar situation to last year when they picked up DeAndre Hopkins for a mid-round pick. They also picked up Joshua Uche for a sixth-round pick. I just don't see them spending that much to acquire somebody.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that the Jets are kind of running into. They have to decide – for even the guys like a Breece Hall, like, so is it worth just getting rid of them for, let's say, a fifth round pick? Probably not. Like, that, what does that really do for them in the current and long run? Because he's kind of their whole offense with Garrett Wilson out. So, like, then you're really giving up on the season if you just get rid of him, whereas you could get a compensatory pick. So it's kind of like, it's going to be an interesting balance they have to do, where are you going to, you know, if you trade Breece Hall, I mean, he's the one to keep going to, because I think he's the name that keeps popping up the most. Like, would you attach a pick to it so you can get a better pick back? Like, that would be the kind of the conversation.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Breece Hall. He's a name that I feel like is going to pop up a lot over the next couple of weeks, but he's not a guy that I see traded. I actually think the Jets probably repay him this offseason.
I don't know. That's a question for, you know, we don't really know what this staff's priorities are and, you know, if they're going to want to pay a running back, what Breece is going to be looking for. I do know that Breece, you know, he's been pretty unhappy with the Jets because they haven't really used him great. He has gone through some injuries. He didn't have a great year last year, but, you know, he's a good pass catcher, at least in theory, and they've kind of avoided him altogether in the passing game in a weird way. So I think he has some frustration with his usage, but, you know, I do think he does like playing in New York, and he likes, you know, the celebrity that comes with that. And I think when he's fully healthy, he's a pretty good player. I don't know that he's a star running back that you want to pay $12 million a year to. So and if they don't trade him, then that would mean they would be interested in re-signing him. But I think we'll find out pretty soon.
Yeah, he's a very interesting case because we're talking about a guy who hasn't run 4,000 yards, a guy that does deal with some injury issues. But I think you and I would agree, if you put Breece Hall on the right team in the right system, I think he can be one of the better running backs in the league. I'm not really sure what that means for his trade value. I'm also not really sure what that means to re-sign him this offseason either.
Yeah, you know, I think he'd be interesting to me for if you're a team that does feel like you're just like one weapon away from completing your offense or, you know, becoming a contender. And obviously the Chiefs are already a contender, whether they have him or not. But adding a guy with that kind of speed, his ability to make, you know, catch out of the backfield, he's more consistent than the guys you have there. So I'd be really intrigued if I was a team like the Chiefs, but how much are you willing to trade for a guy like that? I think it would probably take a fourth for them to say, like, for sure, we'll do it. A fifth, you probably are getting into some, you know, conditional stuff where maybe it can become a fourth or something like that. But I don't see them just giving him up for a late day three pick.
What quarterback do New Yorkers really like? You know how it is. Once your team's playing like this, you start to look ahead a little bit to the draft. There's a couple of names that are kind of bubbling right now in college football. Who's the college quarterback that New York fans really like?
I'd say the two that I hear about the most lately is Ty Simpson from Alabama and Fernando Mendoza, Indiana. I think Mendoza in particular seems to be one that's really caught their fancy because I think he kind of fits the mold of the kind of quarterback they need in this offense. I think Aaron Glenn was targeting mobile quarterbacks this offseason, and that's why he really wanted Justin Fields. But I think Mendoza kind of fits more of the mold of a Jared Goff, which is the offense he came from, and with the Lions, someone who can manage the offense, who can get the ball where it needs to go. And so I'm curious to see if he's the guy they wind up targeting.
Do you guys feel some kind of way that Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he's turned into the quarterback that you guys wanted now with the Steelers. He's gotten off to a decent start. Not great, but he's been fine so far this year.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest difference, if he had done a lot of the stuff he's doing there in New York, things might have been different. And that includes, you know, in New York, he was insistent on running his offense his way with his guy, Nathaniel Hackett, and that was a disaster. And he was insistent on going on Pat McAfee every week, which was a distraction. So you remove that and you put him in Arthur Smith's offense, which he's willing to run, and he's running it well. And it's like kind of a perfect marriage. And so you know, maybe there wasn't anybody in the Jets building that he respected enough that could say to him, like, we need to run a different kind of offense. He respects Mike Tomlin. So I think it was a good marriage for them ultimately. And he's doing things that he wasn't willing to do in New York. Like, that's just the reality.
That is Zach Rosenblatt joining us on the show today. He covers the New York Jets. They got a couple of players whose names are going to come up for some trade conversations. Zach, great stuff, man. I look forward to catching up with you. One of these days, man, you're going to come on the show because your team is like 7-2 and playing in a big game.
We can dream, can't we?
Absolutely. That is Zach Rosenblatt joining us on the show. Happy to have him pop on. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the top story of the day right now in sports, which is the gambling controversy right now in the NBA. And also, this is something that I feel like comes up once every 6 months, and I think we need to acknowledge. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll dive a little bit deeper into the top story in sports. We'll also play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, two things. Thing number one is this. Some of this NBA controversy seems like it is potentially avoidable. Now, people will always find a way to people, and people will usually be selfish or greedy or whatever adjective you want to use to describe them. We can clearly see that basketball, just because of the kind of game that it is one of the more easy games to manipulate from a player prop perspective. So for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, they'll set the over-under for LeBron James, for example, at 29.5 points. Well, if you're LeBron and you can make a conscious decision to take the under so you don't think you'll score 30 points in the game, just stop shooting. Or if we set a number that you got to hit 2.5 threes, you just don't take as many threes in that game. I think one of the easiest ways to stop some of the problems that we have right now in the NBA is you can't allow people to bet the under. Right now, you financially motivate certain players to perform poorly in games. You shouldn't be able to do that. Rob, you're on these same apps. You should only be able to bet if you reach a certain number, not that you will do less than a certain number. You can't really manipulate football games in that way. They have those same things for unders. Like, you can bet on how many carries you think Isaiah Pacheco is going to get. I don't really think Isaiah Pacheco has a lot of control over how many carries or not he gets in a game. Catches, targets, yards. Sure, guys can drop passes, but you can see it's harder to manipulate in football than it is in basketball. We've seen this exact same thing in baseball. What happened with the closer for the Cleveland Guardians, it is obvious if you look at the film that he was throwing purposefully balls on the first pitch. He would come in the game. You can bet now individually pitch by pitch on whether you think it will be a ball strike, the ball will be hit, whatever it is. And he was throwing them way out of the strike zone to ensure that the batter wouldn't swing at it. And if you know that information, that's to the exact point of what something's going to happen, you can make a lot of money on that being the case. If you want to fix some of the basketball stuff, and I don't think they're eliminating player props, I think those are here to stay, then you got to remove a financial incentive for a player to play poorly. And it can only be for you to play really well. That's how you can fix some of this stuff. That's how they got Jonte Porter. That's how they just got Terry Rozier. Hey, Terry, you got to get 6.5 assists, play for a little bit, don't pass the ball, leave with an injury. Play just enough where you don't set off some red flags. He played 9 minutes in the game. He's a rotational piece anyway. He only plays 25 minutes. Play 9 minutes, don't get your assist, leave the game with an injury, everybody gets paid. We made $200,000. You got to eliminate that if you're serious about trying to clean up some of the integrity issues in basketball. You have to make this decision.
It feels like the obvious solution. And by the way, I know that it is less manipulatable in the NFL, but I think the first two stories through when it comes to legalized sports betting and, you know, players impacting games were the NBA. I think you're eventually going to have someone in every sport that gets popped for this. It is harder in football, but it wouldn't shock me if I'm just watching TV and they're showing Aaron Rodgers highlights. I'm just going to pick a random player. Aaron Rodgers. Quarterbacks can manipulate their over-under and yards pretty easy. They can manipulate their passing touchdowns pretty easy. Like, I don't think this is going to be a unique to NBA problem. I think it's going to happen more in the NBA because it's more manipulatable, but I think it's going to be more prevalent across sports in general. But you're right. I think it's DraftKings. When you get on there for player props, at least in college sports, they don't have unders. They only have things like, do you believe 10 plus, 15 plus, 20 plus, 25 plus.
Yeah, because I'm feeling sorry to cut you off, but I'm seeing a lot of people that are saying, well, Vegas can't make money without both. I feel like that is just something that we have just said and said and said. Well, Vegas has to get odds on both sides. That's not how player props work when it comes to some of these things. Like, this is not how it works. So I hear what you're saying. I just don't think that's how the player props have to happen. Well, if that's the case, then you're never going to solve this problem. If right now you were telling NBA players, hey, you can financially benefit by you not making enough threes in a game, someone will try to exploit it every single time. They're people. Like, you cannot fix it if that's not the case. You cannot fix it then if that's it. So that is the only way. Or you're just going to eliminate player props as a whole when it comes to this. But you're right. In college basketball, you can't bet unders. You can't bet unders. If you want to bet Darren Peterson, you can bet that he'll score 20 points, but his over-under is not going to be 16.5 because then it'd be easy. Hey, Darren, hey, I'm going to give you $100,000. I want you to just score 14 points in this game. You get your points early, and then when it comes time, you start to facilitate. You start to pass. You start to do all these stuff. Tell coach you got a tummy ache, whatever you need to do. In my opinion, this is the only way to fix it. The next thing I want to talk about, did you see who just got put on the injured list? L'Jarius Sneed just got put on the injured list.
Old friend alert.
This is something that we don't talk nearly enough about. The Kansas City Chiefs knew exactly the right time to get out of the L'Jarius Sneed conversation. Now, this is not me patting myself on the back, but you remember this show was reporting, hey, the medicals ain't really checking out with L'Jarius Sneed. And everybody was kind of pushing back. Well, he stayed healthy last year. He has not stayed healthy up at any point in Tennessee. At no point in Tennessee has he stayed healthy. It's always been something with him so far. He doesn't have an interception yet in his Tennessee Titans career. Again, this is not me patting myself on the back, but I'm really giving the Chiefs credit. If there was any team that knew it's time to get out of the L'Jarius Sneed business, it was the Chiefs. They had all the information in the world, and the Chiefs had zero interest in signing L'Jarius Sneed. None. They moved on immediately and cashed out. They took their third-round pick. Everybody was like, oh, you got too little for him. No. No. In hindsight, you got too much for him. L'Jarius Sneed has turned into just another guy in the league. Now, maybe the argument is he's out of Spag's system and out of Spag's scheme, so that's been the case. But, I mean, last year he played in 5 games. So far he has played in every game this season but just got put on the injury list. He has been hurt the entire time that he has been in Tennessee. So you got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit for this because this is a deal that if people have been like, hey, pay him early, you would have paid L'Jarius Sneed, and right now you'd be hot if you had that contract. He got a tremendous bag to go play for the Tennessee Titans, and that contract has been bad the moment he put pen to paper on that deal. I'm looking up L'Jarius Sneed's contract. He signed a 4-year, $76 million deal with $44 million guaranteed. He's played in 12 games so far in 2 seasons. He has no interceptions so far this season. That's one of the worst defensive contracts in the league right now.
It is always better to be out early than be stay in too long. And L'Jarius Sneed is the perfect example of that. If the Chiefs were to give him a contract, which not trying to get kudos to this show, but kudos to this show for being like, no, don't do it, then Chiefs fans would hate him right now. And the trickle-down effect would have been, you can't pay player X because you paid L'Jarius Sneed. Always, always, always. If that means that you have a player and you walk on him, he has one productive season elsewhere, you got to take that lump. That's what the Patriots did with Ty Law and many, many others. The Chiefs were absolutely out at the exact correct time with L'Jarius Sneed, because not only did they not pay him, they never really had any interest in paying him. The minute his contract was up, it was, we're open for business. Who wants L'Jarius Sneed? They didn't even like sniff around the idea of a contract extension with him.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top story in sports right now. There's a gambling ring right now in the NBA. We'll also catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.